The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Happy Halloween. And I'm getting reports from people that there really are no more trick-or-treaters to speak of. I haven't seen any stories about trick-or-treaters. I think it's kind of morphed. I was saying this a couple of days ago and just today again. I think most of the people now engaged in Halloween are college students. They're dressing up and they're drinking it up and smoking it up and sniffing it up. They're doing drugs. They're having a good time. And I think they're the only ones who are probably really engaged much in Halloween anymore. I'm sure there are some nice neighborhoods around still with good people who are out having fun. But when you think about it, the whole idea of celebrating horror and death is a little weird to begin with. If you want to celebrate it as an art form, that's another thing. I've seen some pretty neat Halloween art, just landscapes and spooky buildings and things. That's okay. The Hollywood celebrities are going to turn out the biggest deluge of Halloween costume photographs, inappropriate costume photographs. You'll watch. The paparazzi are going crazy tonight. They're running around trying to photograph every celebrity they can get a handle on. All the parties, you watch, they'll be all over the place tomorrow, the next day, the Daily Mail and all. They'll have, in that right column, there'll be all kinds of Halloween party and costume stories. So that's pretty much what it is now. It's a celebrity and college kids holiday. I think young people are no longer involved for the most part. Now, one person who we all know has experienced his own string of Halloween horrors in the last 6 months or so. How long's it been, Ted? When did you start this merry-go-round?
Well, Jeff wants me to talk about the Halloween horrors of the dating world in today's society. And,
right.
I picked a few of them out today to talk about you guys. But, you know, I started dating, I guess, about 4 or 5 months after Sharon had passed away, real slow-like. And now I've got to say one thing real quick. I've gotten some blowback about talking about this on Jeff's show. Okay. Now, I'm going to just be real as clear as I can right now. I want Sharon Brower, my wife of many, many decades, to come back, be part of my life. She's in heaven with God. She's not coming back. Okay? She was the love of my life. She was my true love. And people need to realize that. And I just happened to be in a situation where my wife has passed away. And so what I've done, I've gone into the Bible, for all of you who said that I should have been dating as quick as I did, and I tried to figure out exactly how long God wanted me to wait in the event that someone dies in my family. And the Bible's not specific about that. Now, what it does say, if a husband dies and the wife is left basically alone, that the brother of that husband who died has to take her in immediately. In other words, it's not a waiting period specified. I've also been told that
what
I have
mean,
to
take her in. What does take – wait. What does take her in
take her,
mean?
Take her in as his wife. Because
really?
You know, polygamy was available. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was in the Old Testament.
Right.
In other words, they don't want her out there starving to death and turning to prostitution or whatever the other reason may have been.
Okay.
And they want to make sure the kids get raised right. All right. So there's no time period. Now, another person has said to me, well, you have to date somebody your own age. I'm like, okay. Well, the problem with that is that the Bible doesn't say that either. So we're not going to go there tonight. I'm not going to talk about that at all. But here's the point I'm trying to make. Unless you've been in a situation where you've had a loved one die, preferably, hopefully, well, I don't want any of it, maybe preferably anybody, but if your spouse did die and you find yourself in a situation like this, it's a very awkward place to be when you've been married for a long time and suddenly now you suddenly find yourself single in a world gone absolutely straight to hell, period. That's what it's done. And so you sit back and you watch it and you think, well, it wasn't like this when I was dating, you know, back in the 80s. Well, no, it wasn't like that when I was dating back in the 80s. So all of this stuff is kind of interesting to me. And I've realized something here, and it's been interesting as far as, you know, the different types of people that I've gone out with, because every different age group, whether they're 50 years older in their 40s or in their 60s or whatever, that I've gone out with has the pros and the cons available to them as far as the good parts of that age group and the bad parts of that age group. And I'm not going to go into that tonight. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to say, though, is this. The Bible doesn't tell me how old I'm supposed to date or how long I'm supposed to wait. So when you judge me for that, or you say something to my staff and you call in on this and you say stuff, which has happened now, I found out today, I love you. I'm going to always love you. I pray for you every single day. But this is the walk that I'm having to walk on my own. And I want you guys to know that. And if that ever happened to you or something like this happens to you, you're going to have to walk it yourself too. I had a lot of friends tell me, well, the first year is the roughest year because you got the firsts. You got the Christmas, you've got Easter, you've got Thanksgiving, you've got your birthday, and all the other things.
Oh,
and they were right.
It can be brutal. Sure, I understand.
No, it was brutal. It was brutal. So I want to thank all the people that have encouraged me and all the people that have supported me and all the people that have prayed for me and the family in this time of loss of my wonderful wife, who basically was a dream girl, a dream wife, 5'8", blonde hair, blue eyes, 125 pounds, stunningly beautiful. Black belt in karate, won the U.S. Open Weapons Martial Arts World Championship, got the trophy sitting outside still, author of 8 books, mother of 4 children, and the love of my life and my true love. So my dedication to her will never wane. It'll never stop. But at this point in my life, I've had to move on. Now here's the good news. It wasn't a Halloween Horror Night date. One of your listeners, Vicky, contacted me a few weeks ago. I was texting her back and forth, and she came up from Miami to visit. And she basically stayed at a hotel, and she went to church with me the next day. And we walked around the lake, and I made her some lunch, and we had the most wonderful day you could ever imagine, Jeff. Uh-huh. And it was nice. Uh-huh. It was really, really, really nice. And that one of your listeners actually reached out to me and realized that, you know, just maybe I want to go out with somebody who's not vaccinated. Just maybe I want to go out with somebody who's not a nut. And just maybe I want to go out with somebody who's awake and, you know, try to explain to them what political Zionism is. And they don't understand what you're saying or why you should be giving children 76 shots. Okay. So all of these things are things that you have to think about. So it's like you said, Jeff, trying to find somebody that has all of those parameters, including not having the clot shot, is exceedingly difficult. It really is. So on top of everything else, they've got to be a Christian. So that just this is so to me, it's a very strange place to find myself because the majority of the people that are my age or younger than me or whatever age I'm dating in, they've either been divorced or they've got kids or they've got grandkids.
Oh, they've got a lot of scar tissue, a lot of baggage. Oh, yeah.
On and on and on.
Yeah.
I didn't begin to realize that, you know, there are good people out there that have had a loss or their spouse was unfaithful, both men and women, and they're out there trying to find somebody else. So dating, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care about the age. I care about the health. I care about their conviction. I care about their heart. And I care about their character. Now, the stuff I'm going to talk to you tonight about is some weird stuff. And Jeff wanted me to cover some of these funny stories that I've told him. And I've covered a few of them on your show before, but I'll go ahead and cover a few of them. Now,
Let me jump in here. I think people need to look at Ted as really providing, if not a public service, a human service, because we're all different. We all have to face these horrors like Ted has had to face sooner or later. And to have him share with us his feelings, his dating experiences, obviously some of them don't go well at all. Some of them go better than others. To give us a look at the average person now who's in the same dating mode that Ted is, looking for companionship, looking for love, looking for friendship, looking for a partner, whatever. This is a look inside real life that you're not going to get anywhere else. Agree or disagree with Ted of what he's doing. You're getting a look. If you don't like it, you know, turn to another program. But I think it's a very rare thing that we're getting to experience here. Through Ted's journey, we're learning about this society and people like we really couldn't in any other circumstance like this I can think of.
Well, and the thing about it is this is real time. Okay, this stuff has happened to me. I'm not making
that's
anything
the point.
Up.
Exactly.
Yeah, and no, that's right. And so, but now I can tell you that I pretty much have earned I'm finishing my second postdoctoral fellowship metaphorically in the world of dating. I have gone through that much of this stuff in the last year. Right. And, you know, and so it's just I'm sitting here watching this happen, and I'm like, you know, these people can't be real. But they are. And you think, how could this even be this way? Let me give you an example of one of the ladies that I went out with.
Oh, let's say hi, Vicky.
Hey, Vicky. Vicky's great. I'm not talking about Vicky. Now. Vicky was great. But here's right. one of the girls I went out with to start with. Yeah, she was in her 60s, early 60s. I went out with her, and here she is. I told her when we first started dating, there's three things that I don't like. You know, as far as if I'm in a relationship with somebody and I'm dating them. Number one, don't walk in front of me. It's rude. You take my arm, take my hand, but don't run 10, 15, 30 feet in front of me like I'm a dog on a leash. That really bothers me. Number two, don't make me a brunt of a joke publicly. I don't like that because that's just rude behavior, and it's not necessary to make somebody
to
belittle
to
somebody.
That.
Okay?
Yeah.
But no, Jeff, you have to say that. You have to say that because that has happened to me already multiple times. And number three, don't correct me in public. In other words, if I make a mistake, it's not a big deal. Just tell me later. And if I feel I need to correct it to the people that I was speaking to or whatever, I'll correct it. That's it. That's the simple little parameters. So here I go out with this girl, and we're dating, and we're having a great time. And she won't stop walking 20 to 30 feet in front of me. I mean, she won't. She refuses to. And finally, I said to her one day, I said, you know, we were sitting on a bench, and there was a trestle above us. And I said, if I got up on this trestle and I took a nosedive, and I kept doing it over and over and over again, what would you think? She said, well, I'll tell you to stop doing it. I said, why won't you stop walking in front of me? I said, you're 50 feet in front of me. I said, the other day we went to Sam's Club to pick up some supplies. You jumped out of the truck and you ran inside of Sam's. I hadn't even got out of the truck yet. I said, this is just rude. And ended up being that was one of the primary reasons that I broke up with her. She simply could not change that behavioral pattern. And I remember I told Chris, my good buddy Chris, about this. And he says, the problem is, Ted, a lot of women, when they get over the age of 50 or 60, they get fixed in their ways, and you can't make them change anything.
Hey, what do you mean 50 or 60? How about 25? Your personality is formed. You're not going to change.
But I mean, it was a weird one. And then she wanted to, I won't go any deeper. But that was one of the first horror stories that I ran into. In fact, then I like this. So we're dating, we're exclusive. And then she brings me a calendar over one afternoon and says, this is the next 3 months of the days that you're allowed to see me.
Right.
I said, what do you mean the days I'm allowed to see you? She goes, well, these are the days I'm available. And I said, is this something you're pouring in concrete right now? Or is this something we're going to be talking and discussing? She says, oh, no, it's just a suggestion. And then all of a sudden I realized, like 2 days later, it was pouring concrete. In other words, there was no discussion. There was no dialogue. It was just like, these are the days you're going to be able to see me. And whether you want to see me or not these days, this is the way it's going to work. So anyhow, needless to say,
okay,
that one bit the dust. That one was gone. But now let's do another one. This one basically has a dog. They have spent $50,000 on this 10-year-old dog with diabetes, keeping it alive. The owner of the dog didn't want the dog anymore, and so they gave it to these ladies, and one of them was the girl that I was dating, and suddenly this dog consumes their life. The dog pees everywhere, doesn't make any difference, pees on the carpet, pees on the floors, pees on the furniture, doesn't make a difference, dog has diabetes, and then the dog is completely catered to the whole time, and I'm completely ignored. That's another one that was just unreal. How that one?
I remember that story in great detail.
I'm giving you guys the cliff notes on this one. I remember one day I had gotten over there early in the morning. I had to do the podcast at 10 o'clock because, you know, Ted and Austin Brewer show was live at 10. I got there early in the morning. I needed to get some eggs to stabilize my blood sugar. And I remember she had cooked 6 plates of food for the dog and ignored me, refused to cook eggs for me. Finally, I said, I'll go ahead and cook my own eggs. I've got to stabilize my blood sugar. And she got all hiffy with me and puffy with me and said, all right, I'll make you the eggs. You know, but the dog took full priority. Now, ladies, listen to me. And guys, listen to me, too. A dog can't be your God. A dog is not your child. A dog is not something you have to put in front of your spouse or the person that you're dating or the person that you love or your children or anything else. I heard Dr. Phil say a few years ago, he had a lady and a husband on his show when he was doing marital counseling. And he asked the lady, you know, in front of her husband, what's the most important thing to you? And she goes, my children are the most important thing in my life. And Phil looked at her and said, wrong answer. He goes, if you're a Christian, God is the most important thing to you. If you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian, the second most important thing to you is your husband, and the third are the children. That's the thing I've seen over and over and over again. They get addicted to these dogs, and they get addicted to cats, and that comes complete with toxoplasmosis and not having the cats be clawed, and the cats, cats pooping in the, you know, just, I mean, it's unbelievable, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, tearing up furniture and getting fleas in the house and all the rest of it. So now, if you are going to have a cat in the house, make sure you get it wormed on a regular basis, and you take ivermectin on a regular basis, because that will kill toxoplasmae.
Right.
Which is the cat brain parasite that gets into humans, and make sure you wash your hands as best you possibly can. I don't suggest having animals in the house at all, but sometimes people want to do that, and I understand it, and I certainly don't want an animal sleeping on the bed with me, period. But that's, I know a lot of you guys do that. If you do all that stuff, just stay on parasite cleanses on a regular basis. You know, there's all kinds of things we have. You go to healthmasters.com or you call Steve at the office at 800-726-1834. He'll get you hooked up on a really good parasite cleanse. But that's beside the point, because that's personal preference again. But again, don't put your animal, don't put your pet or pets in front of your husband. I know one lady who's a good friend, and she told me that her husband has like this Rottweiler. And he's like, the Rottweiler sleeps on his lap on the couch while they're watching TV. The Rottweiler sleeps beside him in the bed while they're in the bed at night. And his whole life is consumed with this Rottweiler. And she goes, it's like the Rottweiler is more important to him than I am. And that's sad, because I've seen the same thing. I told one girl that I was dating, I told her, I said, where do I fall on your list of priorities? And I gave her a list of 10 items. And I said, where do I fall here? Do I fall below or above the dog? Dog was named Peanut. I can't make this crap up. And it was so weird to me. And I said, there's certain places that, you know, people need to understand where animals are put in to a certain specific place. Let me give you a perfect example. When I started dating Sharon many years ago, this is back in the 80s, I told her, I said, we're moving to Central Florida. We're not going to be able to have pets with us. And she said, okay, fine. She had two Siberian Huskies. And I said, what do you want to do with the Huskies? She says, I've got two friends that always are asking me about adopting my dogs, and I'll let them both be adopted. The next day, they were gone. Both the dogs were gone.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so then Sharon and I proceeded to have this over 30-year incredible marriage. And, I got our pets later, you know, things got stabilized in our life. But we even ended up with an outside cat, which I have no problem with outside cats because they eat mice. You just got to wash your hands if you touch them. And I had no problem with the dogs. But the dogs had to end up going out of the house because they kept trashing out of the house on the inside. So they ended up being outside dogs. So Sharon was fine with that because, you know, it was just one of those things. But see, that's how willing she was. I asked one girl, I was dating her, a very, very pretty woman. And I said, she said to me one day, she goes, what are you willing to do to keep me as far as your girlfriend? And I said, well, I'll ask you the same question. What are you going to do to keep me? She goes, I'm not going to do anything. If you don't want to date me, don't date me. I'm not going to make any changes. I'm not going to cater you. I'm not going to do anything. I said, my answer is the same thing. I said, wouldn't it have been better to say, I'll do whatever it takes to maintain the relationship? Well, a week later, after that little conversation happened, we were no longer seeing each other because I saw her real heart and her real motive and what she really felt. And see, and this is the thing. A relationship has to be 100% in both directions. It can't be 50-50. All you do is fight because you want your other 50%. You know, I would say to Sharon, what do you want to do all the time? Uh-huh. She'd say to me, what do you want to do? And I would always take her side of what she wanted to do 99% of the time over my side. And she would take my side over her side. So we had this incredible marriage. I mean, we'd literally go for years, Jeff, years, and never have an argument because we were catering to each other 100% in both directions. She was the wind beneath my sails. She lifted me up. She supported me. And I'm going to tell you something, man. You listen to me right now. Ladies, too, if you're not married, the single most important decision you're ever going to make to determine the success of your life is who you marry. If you are Mr. – you know, I got to go save somebody, or Mrs. I've got to go save someone, and you're dating somebody who's on drugs, or his or her – they're on drugs, or they're having all kinds of horrible problems in their life. All of a sudden, you want to be, you know, Mr. Save a Hope, and you marry this girl who's chaotic, or you marry the husband who's chaotic. I can promise you that's exactly what your marriage is going to be 99% of the time. It's going to be a chaotic mess. And every time you try to reach out and do something with your life or try to start a business or better yourself or start working out, you're going to have Ms. Chaotic or Mr. Chaotic at home ruining everything for you. I'm letting you know that up front. I was married once before Sharon for 3 years, and that's what I had. It was a disaster. Mm-hmm. I don't talk about it in depth because I'm not going to go there. But the point was, I know what that feels like. It was awful. And before I put myself in that position again, I would rather walk naked on the moon, period. and just go ahead, whatever would do. Of course, David Icke doesn't think the moon is real, but whatever would happen to me naked on the moon is probably not a good thing, but I'd rather do that, you know,
probably
before I
thing.
Got married again to yeah. somebody who's a nightmare. So that's how I look at it. Now, let's still come up with these stories. So now I have this one girl. I'm going to drive to St. Pete to see
her.
Well,
I'm still – hold on, hold on. I'll never forget the dog story. That really took the cake. The dog owned the
world.
Story
was that was probably the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life, that someone would cook six plates of food for a dog and spend $50,000 keeping a dog alive, and they would actually hook the dog up to the computer and have it wired directly into the Shands Teaching Vet Clinic in Gainesville,
right,
Florida,
to
monitor his blood sugar. I mean, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. The dog was unbelievably sick, and it needed to be put down, period. It didn't need to spend $50,000. Right. And finally, the lady said to me, I would spend every penny that I own, and I would be bankrupt and on the street if I could not keep this dog alive. I would spend every penny. I said to her, wow, that's a crazy attitude if I've ever heard one.
Well, that
again,
tells you you'll always be number two in that relationship. It doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't make a difference. You never get above that. And so that relationship kind of stepped aside. And here are a few other ones.
Yeah.
Lady, I call this beautiful girl up, woman up. I'm going to go to St. Pete and go to dinner with us. Like 65 miles one way. That's okay. No big deal.
Right.
So I drive over. She shows up to the date on a bicycle. Now, this is going to blow y'all's mind, okay? She's ridden 30 minutes on a bicycle. She's windblown. Her makeup's gone. She looks like she's scruffy now. And this is the first date.
Jeff, what time of the day is this? Is this dark?
No, it's in the middle of the day. I'm having lunch.
Okay.
As I get there, and here she comes on her bicycle. You know, and she's hot. She's sweaty. She's windblown. And I'm like, wow, okay. So I sit down with her. Now, this is going to be one of these that you're going to sit back and just shake your head. So I sit down with her, and we're about to order. And she orders a cappuccino coffee because she wants to get herself geeked up for the bike ride. And we haven't ordered food yet. And then she proceeds to tell me that she basically had been dating a guy who had taken her around the world, first class, to Dubai, all over the place. For about 12 weeks, they traveled the world. He was in love with her and wanted to marry her, but that she wasn't going to marry him because she wasn't in love with him. And I said, okay. I said, well, where's your car? She said, well, my car had an accident. It was totaled, and I had to fix some plumbing in a rental house that I have, and I had to use the money from the $30,000 from the car to basically fix the rental house plumbing. I said, well, how's the rental house doing? She said, what's on it? It's vacant. I said, oh, so you're not generating any revenue. No. And then she proceeds. And then we put – listen to this, Jeff. This gets crazy. So then we put the food order in. We put the food order in. I said, well, why wouldn't you – stay with the guy who took you to Dubai, spent all of his money traveling around the world. She goes, well, I'm married. Here we go. I'm married.
Oh, my.
And I said, whoa, you're married. I said, on my profile, I say, if you're married, don't contact me three times. Why are you here? So I stood up, and I walked over to the waitress. We just put our order in. I say, cancel the order. And she goes, okay. I said, let me pay you for the cappuccino. And I did. And I walked back to the table, and I told the young lady, I said, we're done here. I don't date married women, period. I don't do that. I said, I'm not going to get involved with this. And she said, well, can you give me a ride back, or can you put the bicycle in the back of your pickup truck and take me back to my apartment? And I said, no, you're perfectly capable of riding this bike back to your place. And I sat back on the way home, and I thought, I've just driven 130 miles round trip to go out with a woman who completely violated my code of ethics by telling me that she was married stuff.
Well, that's an unforgivably enormous lie. You can't. No.
No, you can't make it up. You can't make this stuff up.
I got it.
You know, and you sit back and you go, what the heck? And then she goes, well, I can't get divorced because the rental properties are in both our names. And I'm like, whoa again. Uh-huh. And you step back and you kind of just say, well, these people can't be real. You know, Ted's got to be making this stuff up. I'm telling you, as the good Lord is my witness, I am not making any of this stuff up. It's all very, very, very real. And then here comes another one. A lady calls me up. She wants to go out with me. She's about 40 years old. Beautiful woman. I mean, beautiful. She has to change the date at the last minute. Well, here's my standard policy. And ladies, don't get mad at me. The guys, take some notes here. All right. If someone changes the date at the last minute after I've scheduled to go on it, I will not go meet them 50 miles away again. They have to come closer to me because I'm not going to schedule the whole day again to drive over there and have them change it again. Because what I've learned is 50% of the time, if they change it the first time, the second time it's 50%, they're going to do it again. The third time it's like 75%. So it becomes just a big waste of time for everybody because they're constantly rescheduling the day. Now, here's what happened. So I told her, you got to come to Lakeland, which is like, you know, 15 minutes away from me rather than Tampa. She said, fine. So she calls me up about the time she's supposed to get there at 7 o'clock, and she is sideswiped on the interstate in her Porsche, her brand-new Porsche Cayenne. And she's in an accident. And it's not her fault, supposedly. And, and basically she's got a live video feed going, showing me the cars and the, you know, the whole thing going on. Police weren't there yet. And she's cussing up a blue streak. And in my profile I say, if your language your language consists of four-letter words, don't contact me because we are definitely not a match. This is not going to work, okay? And so I told her, I said, well, I tell you what, why don't we just reschedule this because you're mad. Your car still runs, but, you know, let's just forget it because the cops aren't even there. She goes, no, I've come this far. I want to go ahead and see you tonight. I want to meet you. I said, okay. I said, but I'm going to go to my hometown now, which is another 15 minutes. When you get 5 minutes away, I'll meet you downtown at Beef O'Brady's. Whatever. She said, okay, I'll do that. Well, like an hour later, she calls me back. The cops are gone. Everything's gone. She comes down to the Beef O'Brady's, and she gets out of the Porsche. She's beautiful. And I said to her, I'm sorry about the car that got hit like this. And she starts cussing. Every filthy word that could spew from a cesspool hydrant came out of her mouth within the first 3-4 seconds. It was unreal. And I went through all this. I said to her, I said, whoa. I said, we're in my hometown now, about to go into Beef O'Brady's, and I'll know half the people in there. I can't have you walking in there using this kind of language. And she started again. And I looked at her and I said, okay, we are absolutely not a match. This is not going to work. I have absolutely zero interest in ever seeing you again. I am now leaving. And I got in my car and I drove away. Jeff, that was a 45-second date. It was nuts. And I sit back and I go, wow. Can there be any normal people out here? And so when I get to go out with people like Vicky, and she's so nice, it's like, wow, this is just a great way to go. Of course, she's a Jeff Frantz listener. Well, let's do another one. I'm going to go to the Columbia restaurant in Ybor City in Tampa. Don't go there at night.
Let me say to our listeners again, you're not going to hear real life like this anywhere else. So take it for what it is. You don't have to agree or disagree. It's fascinating to look at how people are now, the games they play, the false front personalities they construct, very few honorable, honest people left anymore. I'm sorry. That's just the truth of it. People lie all the time.
Here's what I've also learned. I'll step away from what we're talking about for a second. I've learned a lot of the girls in their 50s and 60s who've been divorced 3 or 4 times, and ladies, I know it's not all of you, just some of them, they're country club girls. You know, and they basically have a country club dues that are due, and they've had 3 or 4 divorces, and they've cleaned their guys out every time with settlements, and now they're out of money again, and they want to marry somebody else as quick as they possibly can in order to get another divorce to get more money for settlements. I've seen that one too. Now, I know that goes both directions with guys too that are broken trying to date wealthy women. I got that too. But I've seen that too. So here's another one. We're basically I'm scheduled in Ybor City at the Columbia restaurant, which if you ever get a chance to go there, it's a phenomenal place. It's over 100 years old. And don't go to Ybor at night, though. It's dangerous. And so we're scheduled there for like at 2 o'clock. And so we get there at 2, and the table's not quite ready yet. So I step outside with her for a second, and I'm talking to her about her life and her ex-husband and her kids and all the rest of this stuff. And she's talking to me, and all of a sudden her telephone rings. And we've been standing outside for 4 or 5 minutes. And she proceeds to take a call from another man right in front of me and book another date 2 hours later in front of me.
Oh, this is preposterous.
Jeff, I can't make it up.
Yeah,
You know, and I thought to myself, and I looked at her. She hung up. I said, I looked at her. I started laughing. I said, you just scheduled a date. And this girl's beautiful. She's brunette with blue eyes. She is stunning. And I looked at her. I said, she showed up all scruffy too, wearing warm-up clothes, right from the gym, hair up in a bun, no makeup. And I looked at her, and she goes, well, I got stood up last night. I can imagine you did. And she was in a bad mood. And I looked at her, and I said, by the way, we're done. She goes, what do you mean we're done? I said, I'm leaving. She goes, what do you mean we haven't had lunch? I said, we ain't having lunch, sweetie. It ain't ever going to be lunch with me. I said, you just booked another date in front of me on your telephone during a date with me. I said, do you have any idea how rude that is? And she goes, well, I didn't know who was calling. I said, okay, whatever. Then why did you take the phone?
Oh, please. You don't answer calls on a date. Shut the damn phone.
No, you don't do that. I leave my telephone. Most of the time, I just leave my phone in the car. Yeah.
The dangers of dating in this culture now are profound. They're all over the place. I wonder if good people even try to enter the dating market anymore. I guess some do, but
here's another one.
I'm sure
here's another story. So we're right across the street from the Columbia restaurant, and another Italian restaurant. It's actually a really good restaurant. I forgot what it's called. It's Italian. I think it's a Sicilian restaurant right there in Ybor City again. And so the lady basically is sitting there with me, and she's like ordering everything she can possibly find on the menu, which was nice. And so she sits there, and she's eating unbelievably slow. And then at the end of the day, she basically starts just being really rude. And she says, and she starts telling me that I'm wrong, correcting me in public with the waiter and the staff, which was nice, which is one of my triggers that she already knew about. Then finally, I picked up my plate because she wasn't done eating yet, and I slid it to the place beside me. And she says, "You're being rude. You moved your dirty plate. You have to leave your dirty plate in front of you until I get done eating," according to Ann Landers. And I looked at her, and I started laughing, and I said, "So now you're going to correct me in public. You've already insulted me in public. It's for the third time you corrected me now." And I said, "I tell you what, I'm done. I'm bringing the check right now." That was it. And I left. I never saw her again. But that's how rude these people get. Here comes the essential. This is the one that's going to make everybody go, "You've got to be kidding me." But I'm going to tell you this one. It's the truth. Uh-huh. I go out with this girl. We go out. We have like three dates. Great girl. I mean, she's really nice. We're getting along great. And, you know, all of a sudden, she tells me that she has a car payment that's due. I've known her for like 3 days, right? That's okay. Mm-hmm. And that she's upside down in this car. And what had happened is she had filed bankruptcy 3 years earlier, 2 years earlier during COVID, 3 years earlier. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, she bought this car and her mother co-signed it for her right at the peak of the used car market. It was a Lincoln. And she basically bought a Lincoln that was worth like $35,000, paid like $60,000 for it. Okay, so she's $30,000 upside down when she buys it. Suddenly, her fiance, about a year ago, is killed in an automobile accident. Now, this was an off-and-on relationship with his fiance. They've been broken up, back together about 10 years. The relationship was so bad that when he was basically buried and she went to the funeral, his own family would not let her sit with them. I never could understand that until what happened next. So she tells me, I have my attorney at the house, and he does negotiations. And I said, "John, will you help her with these negotiations with this car and try to get this loan down to the value of the car?" She owed about $70,000 on the vehicle, and it was worth about $35,000. She was $35,000 upside down in this upside down equity. And John says, "Yeah, I could get that lowered for her." So I'm talking to her about that. Well, then a week later, she calls me up and says, "You know, they're going to repo my car, and you've got to make the payment on it." And I said, "Wait a minute, your mom was making the payments for 12 months because you don't want to work because your fiance died, and now it's my responsibility to make the payment on your car. I haven't seen you for a week." She goes, "Yeah, it's your responsibility." I'm like, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I'm not going to make your payment. You haven't made a payment in 5 months. A week later, she calls me back. They had hooked up to her car at work, and they had towed it off. It's gone. Yeah. And now she owes $40,000. She's upside down now because of all the fees. And she said, "It's your fault my car got repoed." And I said, She was 100%. I could read you the emails, the texts. That's what she said. "It's your fault that my car got repoed." And I said to her, I said, "Was it my fault you filed bankruptcy 3 years ago? Was it my fault that your mom?"
Oh, you shouldn't even respond.
I tried my best to get my attorney to help you, and you wouldn't listen to me. I said, "Here's what's going to happen now. Because your mom co-signed this note and you both have jobs, they're going to go to the court and they're going to get a deficiency lien on you and your mom, and they're going to have you make payments. And if you don't make the payments, they're going to garnish your paychecks."
Yeah.
She goes, "They won't do that." I said, "Okay, well, you don't want to believe anything I'd say. Watch what happens next." And see, this is the level that people have come to in the United States from the dating scene. And every once in a while, you run into an incredible, wonderful person like Vicky that you say, "Wow, okay, everybody's not nuts." But these are the stories that I could tell. And I've got a lot more that I could tell you, but I'm not going to tonight because we're almost out of time. But the reality is that when you stop and you look at the dating scene, you realize what cultural Marxism has done to the United States. You realize what the Frankfurt School has done to the United States. You realize how many people have been irreparably damaged because they were told when they were young.
These are lifelong injuries. I'm talking about adult life.
I'm telling you guys. Yeah. I'm telling you. And one, I remember one of the girls, I was really nice to her. And I said, well, I could try to help you. I could try to do that. And her response to me was, well, you know, your life's a fantasy. My life is not. I can't believe your life is the way it is. So therefore, I can't accept any of this. And I'm like, whoa, because she was so programmed to believe the lie that she had to get out and get a job. My 20-year-old daughter, I told you this a few weeks ago, said to me the other day, why in the world did the woman livers mess us up? I want what we had back in the 50s back. I want to be a mother and a housewife. I don't want to have to work and struggle to earn income. I want to raise the kids. She said, I want what my mom, Sharon, had with you, Dad. When my mom married you, she never had to work again for the rest of her life outside of the
home.
That's
extraordinary to hear from a young person.
No, it's a 20-year-old. She said, I saw the example that you guys gave us, and that's what I want. See, and this is the thing that we try to tell our kids. Right. You don't have to believe the lie of the Frankfurt School that a woman has to go out and get a job and struggle their whole life. The key the woman has to do is she has to marry well and choose well and make sure her husband is in a career path that's going to help support her, and she can be the wind beneath his wings. He'd be the wind beneath her wings, and they can support and uplift each other all the days of their life. And they have this incredible life like I had with Sharon. And I thank God every single day for the 38 years I was married to my wife, for the blessing that she was to me. Every day I thank God for that. I don't lament the fact that she's gone, because I can't fix that. I thank God every single day for what she was and what she still means to me for the rest of my life. You see, and I want people to know, that type of relationship is possible, but you've got to be willing to give 100% both directions, and you can be the wind underneath each other's wings, and you can support one another.
Let me ask you a question. Given what you've learned and what you've shared here on many occasions about the average dating matchup, what are the chances? Really, what are the chances of you or anyone else? And I'm not, look, I'm not talking about men or women. You know what I'm asking you. Go ahead.
Here's what you got to do. Guys, listen to me. Ladies, listen to me. Here's what I've learned in my PhD and my postdoctoral fellowship in dating, in the world of the depraved mind here in the dating world today. Number one, when you get on a dating app, you got to have to hit as many clicks as you possibly can for as many people as you possibly think that you may get along with that you think are relatively decent looking. You got to do that. You have to work at it. And then what you have to do, and this is super, super important, when they contact you back, you have to, no matter what, you have to do a video chat with them. Because the pictures may be 20 years old, and they may be 50 or 100 pounds heavier. Sure. I already have that. One girl I went out with sent me all these old pictures before I figured this one out, and I got down to her date with her, and she was 80 pounds heavier than her photographs. I mean, she was huge. And I said, well, are you picking on women? No, stop. Don't pull that out of context. She lied to me. All right? She lied to me, and it'd be like I walked down there, and I weigh 188. I'm real lean. I got veins all over my arms. I work out 6 days a week. You know, and I want somebody who's in shape, who works out, who's in good shape. And if I showed up weighing 400 pounds to a date and I showed them a picture of me at 188, that's not right. I'm lying too. So don't sit here and try to take her side on this. So I've had that happen. So you've got to do a video chat no matter what. 50% of the time, they will not video chat you. And there's a reason for it. Either their pictures are old or they do not look like their photographs, period. I'm letting you know that. And when those people do that, just say, as I said about dating profile, I will require that we do a video chat before we schedule a date, because it'll be a lesson in futility in the event we meet each other and we don't look like our photos. We need to verify each other, period. Ladies, particularly for you, that's really important from a security standpoint. It really is. And if you're going out of town to meet somebody or flying somewhere to meet somebody, which I really don't suggest, and you go on and do all of that stuff, you better know who they are, and you better run a background check on them before you leave and get into a foreign town with somebody you don't know. Now, if it's just a local date, I don't tell them my last name, because chances are most of the time it's one date and I'm done, because we don't click. Very, very important. So you got to video chat with them, schedule the date. Then about 50% of the time they won't do that. Well, the other 50% of the time it'll be difficult to try to get the date scheduled because of people scheduling, because people have jobs. It really will be. And so some of those are going to wane out too. But the reality is you've got to have security as the foremost thing here if you're a male or a female. Don't be meeting people places that you think you can get rolled or robbed. Oh, I've seen it all, Jeff. And so be very, very, very careful. Men, If it's legal in your state, ladies, if it's legal in your state, I suggest that at least you carry pepper spray or you carry a weapon with you, period, if you have a concealed weapons permit and it's legal and you know how to use it. Be very, very careful with online dating because, again, you don't know who the people are. And so that's the key here that I'm trying to share with you guys tonight. It's possible to go out and get your mind off the loss of a spouse or off the loss of a loved one or of husband or wife with a divorce. It is possible to do all that, but it requires preparation and time and patience with it because if you don't do that, and the other thing you got to do is you got to pray because I ask them, will you go to church with me before I go out with them? If they tell me, no, I don't go to church, my response is there's no point going any further than this. We're done. And I've done that many times. Mm-hmm. I won't do it because I don't want to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And see, that I went with one girl. She was a great girl. Her father was Catholic. Her mom was Muslim, right? Well, she was kind of caught between both of them. And so she went to church with me one time, didn't know what to do with it all, didn't want to go back. And I said, okay, we're done. That was it. And she was a great girl, great girl. But the point, I think she was 42 years old. But the point was, all these things are very easy to mitigate if you realize up front in advance exactly what you're looking for. And then the most important thing is just to have fun and be nice. Don't be rude. I mean, guys, listen to me. Don't be a swine. Okay? I'm picking on men right now. When you go on a date, open the door for the girl you're with. Open the car door.
Be a gentleman, of course.
Be a gentleman. Don't be a swine. Yeah. Pull the chair out when you sit down. When she walks into the room, stand up. Yeah, I mean, what happened to this chivalry we used to have in the United States? When they walk into the room, you stand up, you pull their chair out, you let them scoot in, you open the door for them, you open their car door, you escort them to their car, make sure they're going to be safe. You know, if they may ask you not to, because they may not want you to see their vehicle or whatever, that's different. Just be nice. And if you're really, really nice to people when you go on a date with them, most of the time they're going to want to go on a second date with you. Now, sometimes, like the lady who was the nut who said I couldn't move a plate or all the rest of the stuff, or the lady who was married and all the other crazy things that I've run into here, you got to just avoid those people like the plague. Because, guys,
Ted, look, all right, hold on. You're a very intelligent, discerning fellow, okay? There are a lot of women on there. Very few of them are going to put their truth up. They're going to tweak it. They're going to massage it. They're going to turn it this way or that to try to make them say, hey, it's human nature. They're going to try and make themselves seem like they're perfect. So entering the dating market now, I don't care what platform you're on, seems to me like it's virtually almost impossible. And why bother? Why put yourself through that?
Here's why. Yeah, I've had companionship in my life for 38 years. My kids are all gone, Jeff. Okay, I've gotten used to being a lot more alone, but I don't like sitting here by myself. I really don't. And I can only spend so much time a day in preparation
for
my show.
We've gone through this. I get it.
Yeah, okay, but
look what you're dealing with. I'm telling you, it's like walking through a minefield.
But to me, Jeff, it's empowering to know that I can still go out and date and have a good time and enjoy the people that I go out with most of the time and not have a disaster happen. I mean, I really enjoy it. Vicky came up this weekend. I loved having her around. It was great having her here. But again, she's a Jeff Fretz listener. Okay, she also listens to the Ted Nelson Broner podcast. And so I enjoyed that. She's an amazing woman. So to me, it was such a refreshing break from all the weirdos. Now, don't get me wrong. Not all my dates have been bad. I've given you about a dozen or so horror stories. I've gone out with a lot more than that. But the reality is a lot of them were pretty good dates. We just didn't click. We didn't mesh. And a lot of them we did click and we did mesh. And we dated for a little while. I mean, for various reasons. And one other thing, let me tell you. Listen to me, man. You may find a woman who's chaotic and you're going to save her. And she becomes codependent on you. Same thing with you, ladies. You may find a guy that's basically his life's chaotic and he becomes codependent on you. And you like that in the beginning because you feel as though you're needed. And then what ends up happening is when you finally – then you put a ring on it. And then you find out real quick that, hey, wait a minute, they're not who I thought they were. That's why you never – my family was so concerned that I was going to get married again right away. I said, I'm not going to do that. I've got more sense than that. The first 30 days, anybody could fool you, period. I've seen it repeatedly even in my own life in the last year now. If they're really good, they can fool you for 60. They can. Nobody can fool you for 90, period. It's impossible. They can't. You'll figure out who they are real, real quick, usually by the end of the second month. And by the time you get to the end of the second month, you're going to either have a clicking with that person, you're going to really like being with them, or you're not. And so that's the whole key. It's like, in the state of Florida with unemployment, they give you 90 days to determine if an employee can be there before you have to pay them unemployment, compensation. You got 90 days. And that's how I look at these dates, Jeff, not so much as a date, but as an interview for a life partner.
Well, you know, that's correct. That's the way it ought to be approached. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to get married again. I would. I mean, I would probably not do it through a state gay agency again. I'd probably just do it with a preacher in the backyard, you know, just me and my lady and the preacher, you know, and not get all intertwined with the state, whatever. I would just do like we used to do it in this country for hundreds of years. But the reality is this. I mean, I don't want to sit around for the rest of my life being alone. I have no interest in that. I don't want to, you know, deal with that. So I'm going to continue to have fun and enjoy myself and date, you know, pretty women, nice women, and try to find somebody that I'm going to be compatible with. And to me, it empowers me to let me know that I can continue to go out and do that and I'm still alive. That's why I said they got to be a Christian. The one I went out with last week, she's another nice girl. She's a gun girl. She goes to target practice with guns. She's really good with weapons. I mean, so there's all kinds of people out there that are looking for a real companionship, who are looking for a real person to basically go out with. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you got any questions about any of these crazy things, you can email me at askdrtedb@yahoo.com. Askdrtedb@yahoo.com. I'll be happy to answer you. I've got all caught up on my emails tonight, and so I can answer you pretty quick. But see, here's the thing. If we all work together as a body of believers, and we all work together as a body of patriots, you know, we can continue to support ourselves. The churches have been absolutely useless at my age trying to find anybody because they don't have any single groups except for like college age kids, period. They don't do that. I have no idea why yet. And so you're trying to go to a church to try to find somebody who's not married, you feel like a predator. You're looking around at people's rings to see what they have on their hands. It's awful, to be honest with you. And see, they don't cater to that. Well, all the pastor has to do is say, look, we're going to have a singles thing over the age of 30, whatever. You know, tonight, whatever, you know, in the reunion hall or whatever, and we'll do that once a week until you guys can meet so many people in the church that are single. They don't do that. I have no idea why. Maybe because they don't want to turn it into a dating scene in the church. I don't know. But wouldn't it be better for believers to date believers and Christians to date Christians and people of like mind and like faith to be able to do that? That's how I see it. So that's a very big falling out the church has had with its own people, not trying to help them, to support them, to try to find somebody for them, when they basically have gone through a trauma or a loss or a divorce or a death in their life. So all of these things are part of the things that I've learned over the past year, my metaphoric second PhD doctoral fellowship that I've completed and all this stuff. And that's why I don't play. And one more thing, too, ladies, listen to me, men, too. About 50% of the people on these dating sites in many cases are bots. They're not even real. They're computer-generated photographs. And they're trying to get banking information
just
from you.
Compounded the dilemma even more.
No, listen to me. This is very important. And they're basically, they're bots. They're not even real. That's one of the reasons they will not video chat with you. And they want you to PayPal them or something, or do this for them, or this. Some girl did it up in Philadelphia. I contacted her. Beautiful woman. She wanted to fly down and see me. She texted me. I talked to her like, you know, 20 minutes one day. Next morning she calls me up and says, I'm in line here at the grocery store. I'm buying breakfast right now. I don't have my money in my account. I'm with you now. Can you go ahead and send me some money on your Cash App? And I said, whoa, I've never met you. I'm not going to send a Cash App $20 for you to have breakfast. I said, if you don't have money to eat breakfast, go home and cook something at home. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, and by the way, you're not coming down here now because you're a nut. That happens a lot. So be very, very careful. They're going to want banking information, Cash App information, credit card information, wired money to them, all that stuff. They want to get that wired tracking information. If they will not video chat with you within the first 2 or 3 days, block and delete them, period. That's the best advice I can give you tonight.
Well, I think the minefield analogy is about as good as it gets. This is really difficult. And then you have the biggest issue of all. Are they telling you the truth about their injection status?
No, that's true. Because you don't know. You really don't know. And so I just have to go with it on that because, you know, but it's how you ask them. You go, well, you got the COVID shot, right? If you said to them like that, well, yeah, I did. Okay. Well, then you got the answer for that. If you ask them, you didn't take that COVID shot, didn't you? And they go, Oh no, I didn't do that. So they answer however they think that you want them to answer. And so, right on my dating thing, it says I did not take the COVID shot. Big block letters. We let them know that I am not that guy. I don't buy that whole nonsense. And I've had a lot of them comment on that. But again, be careful out there and make sure that you know you're in a public setting and never meet somebody alone. Never go to their house. Never get in a car with a guy if you don't know him. If you just met him, don't do any of that stuff. I said it's all disasters waiting to happen. Really, really important for you ladies out there,
I hear you.
And for the guys too.
Well, we've all gotten a look into the greatest dilemma of all, finding a life partner. That's tough. That's tough. So
yeah,
hopefully
but you
this
know
has
what
been
though,
helpful.
Jeff, I
sharing this
I
is very kind of you. I mean
thank you, Jeff.
It's,
yeah, yeah. Well, and I rely heavily on prayer, too, and I prayed for all the listeners tonight. Pray that God would bless them and keep them, let his face shine upon them. And take right. this as what I'm giving it to you as a word of advice, a word of encouragement, a word of warning, and not that I'm trying to go out and start dating right away after my wife died because the Bible doesn't tell me how long I'm supposed to wait. Remember that. Don't judge me for that, and realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, including finding another life partner. I believe that with all my heart. But we have to be out there doing what we know to do to the best of our ability, because the Bible also says the kingdom of God has been advancing since the beginning of time, and only forceful men lay hold of it. God wants us to go out and take hold of it and do what we need to do on our part. And that's mm-hmm. how I see all of this stuff, is that we've got to be having our faith combined with action. And that's how the dating world works. And that's how I see all of this stuff, Jeff. It's just part of the world and how it works. And I'm just going to rely on God Almighty to get me through all of this stuff.
It's a fascinating insight and view of that side of the calendar. It's tough out there. Time flies. And you're on a – how many have you dated now?
I'm not going to say, because it's going to sound crazy. I'm not going to do it.
All right.
I'm not going to mention that. But it's been a few.
All right. Still double figures, though. Okay.
It's more than one. That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, again, Ted, thank you for sharing that. It's very personal, very interesting, and the state of our culture and our country is very difficult right now. It's in real trouble, and it's reflecting, of course, through the people. So that's even worse. All right. You have a good day, a good night, and good luck.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you so much. I'll rely on the blessings of God. Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night, Ted. Okay. Wow. We'll be back with David Oates coming up next and Reverse Speech.